This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Positively despise him.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Crossover time here on 95.7 The Game. Willard and Dibs in the house, along with Goo and Grandy. The crossover is brought to you by Abundant Life Weight Loss. They know the secret to losing up to 1 pound of fat every day. Go to AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com. You too on Abundant. You're looking pretty good.
Look at Grandy.
And that's what you
tell
do.
Tell them Guru sent you.
That's what you do when you're the point guard.
Right. You, John Stockton.
You read the room.
Set him up.
You tee people.
Look at Willard. Yeah, no, that was great.
I mean, honestly, young, not super experienced.
He's been phenomenal,
he's
man.
He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, you got to love Grandy.
That's just a little bit of a tip of the cap for a guy. And you know what also the secret is to losing up to 1 pound of fat every day? Is walking by the Dunkin' Donuts boxes
Boy,
that are out there.
Did you see them?
Yeah.
Man.
I opened one.
I grabbed myself one.
And I opened the other one, and I said, you know what, Dibber? You're down 25.
Look at it.
Go ahead and walk away.
Way to go. Way to go,
Dibs. Yeah, I'm going to come in. Yeah, I did the same, but yeah, I'm still battling.
And it's only because our sales rep, Lauren, was like right behind me.
Right. And so I looked for her first.
Yeah. I opened the box, and I went to reach in, and I turned around, and she's, hey, Dibs.
I was like,
oh, hi, Lauren. How are you?
Oh, boy.
No. I'm just trying to make sure that there's not a box I need to recycle.
I'll bring you one later.
On the DL, please. Yeah. On the down low.
Can I share something with Grandy? I've been hiding this from you.
Oh.
But if the league is in such a good place, and this is where my mind goes, I know it's Operation Make the Playoffs for the Warriors, but it just dawned on me last evening, like, whose league is it really? And I bring this up because I can remember Miami and Denver in the finals, Willard, as you look at me, and Steiny and Evan get better, Steiny golfing. They're like, nobody's watching the finals. And I didn't buy that. I was all in for all seven. But I said, would you rather, if you guys are Adam Silver or a fan, see a Western Conference final of Denver versus OKC? Or the Lakers versus the Golden State Warriors?
That's an easy answer. I mean, that's an
but
easy
that's a,
answer.
But that's the OG. I'm assuming your answer.
Lakers Warriors.
And Silver would say the same
God,
thing.
Of course.
Like, we're, the NBA is getting, I would argue, dangerously close to what happened with the PGA Tour and Tiger Woods, where you're hanging on to the face of your sport.
Wow.
Being old and no longer able to compete and not able to stay relevant with the people who are actually running the sport who are nowhere near as exciting. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So Nikola Jokic can be Brooks Koepka in this analogy.
What about Rahm? Remember, bad. I thought he was supposed to be the man. John Rahm.
No, they're all gone to live.
And then they all left for live. Oh. Yeah, so
yeah.
Now, the Lakers and Warriors may still compete. They may still compete, but how many more years are we doing this?
Wow.
How much longer can the NBA afford to have these two guys be their face?
Well, I mean, maybe 2 to 3, and then they're both going to be gone, and then you can talk about, like, the new rivalry, Shea against Anthony Edwards, or Ja, or
Luka,
Tatum and Brown, whatever you want to do. The big problem with the PGA Tour, and it reminds me a little bit of the Pac-10, Pac-12, the arrogance and the hubris and, you know, all the rest of it. The PGA Tour thinks that people are going to love golf no matter what. And I heard Spadoni this morning talk about somebody who shot a 59, which is, I mean, it's an amazing accomplishment.
Who was it?
I can't even tell you. Like, I heard it, and I tried to remember it, but I didn't. And then the tournament that he did it at was a tournament I've never heard of. And, you know, all these tournaments, you could mention 10 golfers like Koepka and Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau. They're all playing in the LIV. And a lot of the golfers who are the best are playing in LIV. And the golfers who are playing PGA Tour, they're not playing the PGA Tour.
So LIV is like the ABA? Is that what you're...
A little bit, yeah. It's a little bit like that. But, I mean, the LIV is... You know, a lot of the best golfers who don't play on the tour, and you know what? A lot of the best golfers on the tour don't play on the tour either.
By the way, Jake Knapp shot a 59 at the Cognizant Classic.
Thank you.
How is that not getting run, Willard? A 59?
I don't even know. Where is the Cognizant Classic?
Give me another second.
Where the hell
does
that happen?
Yeah. Hold on.
It's a miniature golf, Grant, a 59. Whoa.
Right.
I know that's when you're getting down.
The Cognizant Classic is in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida.
Okay.
Yeah. And good for him. And it's not to diminish it, but it's like if somebody goes for 70 in the G League, it's like, damn, dude had a game. Anyway, where were we?
No, I'm with Willard. I got Curry and LeBron I don't think that's a good thing for the league.
It's not. It's not. But it's not like it's not easy to replace that stuff. I guess the best or most recent thing that can come to mind, like for a number of years, we did Manning and Brady.
Oh my gosh. Right?
They were Steph and LeBron. And when that starts to wind down and when Peyton Manning's getting neck fusion surgery and all that, you can't really you look at it in that moment and you're like, well, I don't see who's next. But then it can happen fast. And all of a sudden, there's Patrick Mahomes, and now you're like, now I see what's next. And so maybe it'll regenerate in some sort of a way that we don't see. These two are pretty special.
Okay,
I don't know how you're going to do it. Certainly not anytime soon.
And football is different.
It is. Because there's always great quarterbacks.
And there's always a great team and a great story, and we watch everything. And so something's going to percolate up. And I'm thinking about, like, the NBA when we got post-Jordan. And it might be a little bit before your time, Grandy, but hang in there. You're a historian, and you understand it. But once Jordan won his sixth, which was in 98, I think.
Yeah, last one.
Right. So after that, what did you have? You had Iverson with a cup of coffee. You had Kobe, the rise of the Lakers, and you had Detroit with a one-off. Yeah. And then you didn't really have, outside of Kobe, you had the Kobe and Shaq. And that was the whole thing, like, you know, Kobe and Shaq. Wow. And then they broke up, and then after that, it was kind of nothing. And then LeBron came up, and so the NBA got a little bit lucky, quote-unquote, that LeBron came along. And I think about now, like 3 years from now, is it Cooper Flagg? Is it Wembanyama?
It's got to be Wemby. He's part of it, right?
Cade Cunningham, right?
I mean,
there are young stars, but I wonder how many of these young stars are, like, filtrating the general NBA audience.
Well, and when, you know, not to make this a thing, but when has that player who's captured the imagination of this country ever been an international player? I don't know that that's possible. In the same way.
Giannis, like, would be the closest.
He'd be the closest, but nobody is mistaking Giannis for Jordan, LeBron, or Steph.
Man. Fair.
Nobody. And so the top three scorers in the NBA right now.
How about Luka on his best day when he was with Dallas?
No commercials. I mean, again, yeah, these are phenomenal players and they're worthy of their status and all that, but are they the type of players that are going to capture the whole sort of NBA vibe and the shoe deal and everything and capture that, like you just said, the commercials? I don't see it.
Well, Grandy, what if I told you, I believe real quick, Ja and Zion both blew their chances. Zion with his body will never stay the same, and Ja with the gunplay. He can still be the man, but he'll never be the guy next door that they were trying to give it to him.
That for sure. Zion had all of the hype coming into the league, no doubt. I think we're holding the league to an incredibly high standard. I mean, you're talking about LeBron, top two player of all time, and Steph, a top 10 player of all time. Like, there's a lot of really young, amazing talent in the league. But to just think that it's a major negative that none of those guys are going to be on the level of Steph and LeBron. Like, that's unfair to those guys. You're talking about two of the greatest players to ever play.
It's not about being at the level.
It's not a major negative either. It's just like the league is going to, at a certain point in the next
turnover
decade or something, you're going to have
less
to
than
have,
that, yeah.
Right. You're going to have to have, well, there are gaps sometimes. The Spurs take over as a dynasty and everyone's like, yawn.
What?
Right. Like, I mean, there are gaps, but someone's going to have to capture that kid on the playground. And you know,
wasn't it Ant-Man? I thought it would. I'm not saying it can't be, but maybe. I feel like there's something. What happened?
He's in Minnesota. I mean, that's part of it.
They don't win enough.
Right.
You got to win.
You got to do something.
You have to win championships.
And that leads me to, like, my question about right now, under 27, who is that guy who in the next 3 to 5, because LeBron won't play more than, I mean, he could play 5.
Right.
I mean, whatever. Steph and LeBron, 3 to 5. KD, 3 to 5. Harden, 3 to 5.
It's
got to
be Wemby.
Is it Wemby?
Yeah, it's got to
be. It would be for me.
Right? I mean, it could be.
If he stays healthy.
Right, if he stays healthy. And, I mean, you've got Jokic, who at that point will be 31 with a chip, and you've got, you know, Shea, who might get the MVP this year, and
Jokic
might
is already
have a
30.
Chip.
5 years, he'll be 35. He'll be about done in 5 years.
Damn.
Getting close.
What is it about Jokic that we don't gravitate to? Is it just, he don't care either, but...
This dude is incredible.
I don't think he wows you.
Not flashy.
International and a style of
play.
So
what are we looking for? Personality. Come on, dude.
I mean, it's hard to put words on it. Like, okay, what was it about Jordan or Kobe that or Steph or LeBron that does that for you? And it'd probably be four different answers if you looked at those four different players. But it's just that thing. It's that thing that absolutely stops traffic. And makes your eyes go big, and makes you dream big. If you're a young kid or whatever, makes you want to emulate them on the
And there we go.
Nobody ever has gone to the elementary school playground
and maybe he's on to something.
I'm gonna like emulate Jokic passing from the elbow.
Right. And I'm trying to remember who the comedian is who's done the Instagram where he does the
Steph and the Draymond?
No, he does the Jokic. And he does the... The way Jokic runs, which is like... And he does all of his movements, and then the dribble, dribble, and then the fadeaway, then the head bobbing and all the rest of it. He doesn't resonate with, like, oh my God, did you see Jokic make that sensible 16-foot turnaround?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. The other thing about Jokic is he at times feels a little less interested in actually playing basketball and living that life.
Don't
than
invite
anybody
him
else.
To the All-Star game. It doesn't resonate at all.
You have to win more than one. That's what's also getting Giannis and Jokic right now, is that when you win one, we look back on that in the grand sense. We look at that as kind of a one-off. Do you know what I mean? Like, think of the quarterbacks in the NFL who win one.
Mm.
It's like, okay, you won
Nick Foles,
one.
Brad Johnson,
Joe Flacco.
Right, but like that, it's a completely different vibe.
Hostetler.
When you start doing Brady and Mahomes and Manning and all of that, it's
even Eli Manning, you know,
completely different ball.
And I wonder what player right now in the NBA, what one has won more than one? It's Steph and LeBron,
right?
And then
Durant.
I feel like that's Steph, but you're right. He got two finals MVP. You met the criteria.
I guess that counts. Yeah. But he was an A-boy. Right.
The guy who might have the best chance right now is Tatum.
That's a great man.
Because he could go get...
Well, they're favored this year.
Yeah, they could go get a couple, and he's still got a bunch of years left in his 20s and all of that stuff.
So how sad is that I blew past Tatum and Brown? Like, I should have stopped in...
Well, it's real because quick, said Tatum and Brown. It's not Tatum and company. It's Tatum and Brown.
Yeah, he didn't.
And in the finals,
but it was always Shaq
year,
and Kobe,
Brown.
And that either one, Kobe Tatum. Might tell you is different.
Tatum got to get a finals MVP. Come on, JT.
Yeah, no doubt.
Although Steph was a legend, and he had done three titles with no MVPs. So you can do it. You can do it.
You can.
You can do it. You got to put your butt
in. Hey, Grandy, ask him our question that we led the show with.
Okay,
see if we get two different answers.
Take Draymond, take Jimmy out of the question.
Okay. I like this. I heard it.
Focus on
see who you would
focus
pick.
On Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, Brandon Pajemski, and Buddy Hield.
All right.
If you can get like great play, you can guarantee great play out of one of those dudes for the rest of the regular season and into the postseason. Who are you picking? Like, who's most valuable? Who do the Warriors need the most out of that group of four?
I'm
to play
curious
well?
To see.
It's, oh, it's easy.
What do you say?
It's Kuminga.
And that's
if Kuminga can play as well as he can play, his upside is bigger than Pods and Moody.
There you go.
And Buddy Hield. Like, Buddy Hield's not going to suddenly come out and hit you for 24. Kuminga, I believe, can give you something at his best that's different than the other three guys on the list. For me, it's Kuminga.
Okay. See, now I would answer it a different way because I feel like...
Well, let's fight about it. Well,
let's do it. Because the baseline for those three young players is actually pretty high. We know them to be very consistent basketball players. I sort of feel like in the end you asked two different questions. Who's the most valuable? I'll agree with Dibs. But if you're asking me, who would I take to be at their elevated highest? Well, that's Buddy Hield.
Because and Monty Poole just joined us, right, and that was his answer.
Because he's the inconsistent one. So if you were to get consistent play from him, now you're raising the bar
even greater than Kuminga, though. Well, why Kuminga, to me, puts the Warriors in a whole different stratosphere as far as knocking teams off, because he's one of a kind.
Right. Like, I answer that by who's got the lowest floor, and you want to raise that
up. Who are you least
up.
Confident in at this stage?
He's got the lowest floor. Remember how Steve Kerr answered this question this week? We go, hey, you guys have not lost a game all year when Moses Moody starts. Is there something to that? Within 2 seconds, he goes, that's true. Also, it's kind of like the fact that we're like 17-1 when Buddy Hield scores more than 15 points. He jumped right there, and that stuck with me because that's what I think happens. When the lowest floor person raises their floor, your team becomes unbeatable. I look at your question similar to the whole stat about when Draymond, what is it, when he hits more than two threes in a game? They don't lose.
They win like 80% of their games.
Because the baseline for Steph, Clay, or whoever else is so much higher. So I'd say Buddy.
It's interesting. I think it also, when you look at it from the perspective of the other attributes on your team, and now with Jimmy Butler in town, there's kind of some overlap between Butler and Kuminga, and your worst shooting. And if you get better shooting from one of your other shooters who hasn't been shooting well this year, that maybe brings you to a different level too, because you're not getting that from anybody else.
Dude,
then Quentin Post, and you know, Pods has been shooting it better. I mean, GP2 from the corner, and you can get shooting outside of Buddy going 1-for-7.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. What if you could always get Buddy to go 3-for-7? I feel like if Buddy Hield hits three threes, the Warriors are almost impossible to beat. Impossible to beat.
I can look that up for you. Hold on.
Yeah. But Willard, I feel like because your answer was Buddy because he had the lowest expectation, does that still get you to the clouds like a Kuminga could if he's having the best version of himself? Doesn't that take you higher?
Maybe. Again, like if you're asking me who's the most valuable, most like if you're asking sort of like who would I love to, if you're going to do an actual finals run.
Yeah, like how, if we beat Denver in a series.
Well, who has the ability to actually elevate and be like a game-changing player? Mm. Sure, that's Jonathan Kuminga. But Buddy Hield playing really well means the Warriors as a group are like so deep. They're so elevated because they're not really expecting that from him.
Warriors are 17-9 when Buddy Hield makes three or more threes this year.
Wow, he's done it that many times,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. He's made 7 three times, believe it or not.
Seven.
Two of them were the first four games of the year.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Yep. There you have it. But for me, I just think that if you have Kuminga at his best, he gives you an element that you don't have. Like Jimmy Butler, and, you know, Kuminga attacking, getting to the rim, and getting you 18 off the bench in 28 minutes. It's something that Buddy doesn't do. And it'd be great to have November Buddy, but, you know, February, January, and December, Buddy has not been that guy. And I think that Pods and Moody, the other two candidates, are just so rock steady. Like,
they
I
are
think that you're
going to
get what you're going to get And, you know, Pods might get you 11 rebounds, which is awesome. And Moody is kind of a gritty player now.
And he'll make a three.
Loose balls, tip balls, make a three. He'll do all the little things you need. Man. But for me, if Kuminga can get to where he was before he got hurt, now you've got a real, like, four-man rotation of elite players.
And, Willard, I wonder if you're – and Monty just said it, too. Monty Poole joined us. The fact that Buddy has relinquished the starting spot, I'm wondering if that, you know, I don't know how many, he could play the same amount of minutes, I guess, but now that he's not starting and I don't foresee him getting that opportunity back with the way Pods is playing, I could be totally wrong. I'm just wondering, will he have the chances to have that imprint now on the team in the game?
Probably not as often, but I think Buddy Hield sort of becomes what Moses Moody has been. Like, when you go in, you hit some threes, you get to stay. You don't? You sit. Come sit next to me. And he's got to deal with that now. And he's earned that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for him. He's earned that. Like, he's going to have to, he kind of has to pay to play.
And a couple weeks ago, you were the one saying, like, enough of Buddy. Buddy, you need to sit down.
Yeah, I was saying it too.
Right? It was so bad. I apologized to Kings fans.
I did.
No,
did
I mean,
well, and this,
we
is,
had to.
This is something in the back of my mind. I am aware of this with Jimmy Butler. It's different because Jimmy's a great player. Jimmy's a future Hall of Famer. But we went through a honeymoon with Buddy.
It was a great honeymoon.
Dude, that was 3 weeks in Europe.
Yeah. He could do no wrong.
And that was a honeymoon.
2 months later, we're like, get this guy off my team.
Boy, you fan.
So I don't. Dude. I do not foresee that with Butler. But I am mindful of the fact that
history.
Buddy was so good that I made a stupid bet with Evan.
Which one?
I bet him a drink that Buddy would average more points per game than Kuminga this year.
Oh, no.
That's how good he was.
Wow.
Does the bet swing in your favor if Kuminga is ineligible? Doesn't play enough games?
Stop it. You're kind of blowing my technicality that I'm working on right now.
It was
now.
Points a game, not total points, but that would have been a better bit.
If he doesn't qualify, then he doesn't qualify.
There you go, right?
Anyway, like, you know, could a month from now, we're like, whoops, we got a little excited about Jimmy.
It would be disappointing, but the possibility is there. And I'll just tell you, Dibs, I feel like Durant's back tonight. They're favored by five. I hammered the Warriors. But that's not just because I need money. Yeah. Four and a half. Because I just feel like they're gelling. They're taking care of business more now than ever. The adult in the room that Chris Paul was supposed to be, I think, is Jimmy Butler.
Well, I think that Chris Paul was the adult in the room, but Jimmy Butler affects winning at a greater level because Chris Paul, at 6 foot or whatever, however tall he is, he's not going to be able to do what Jimmy's doing. And also, the one thing that Steve Kerr talked about, and Mark, you pointed it out earlier in the week, Jimmy Butler and turnovers. When he turns the ball over,
oxymoron.
It's the way that we all react when you get a parking ticket. It's like, God, I should have fed the meter, or this is BS. My curb was, you know, my tires weren't in the red. We get mad when you get a parking ticket. That's how he reacts when he turns the ball over.
That's a good thing.
He gets mad.
I mean, Steve Kerr's probably got to be thinking to himself, how come I haven't been able to instill this in the rest of my players?
Because it wasn't here.
For over a decade, he's been begging them to turn the ball over less. And it's always been a piece of their puzzle.
Right.
Even when they were the greatest team on earth.
And the chef with his one-handed, left-handed hook throws cross-court. It's like,
it's part of his style.
It is.
And you obviously...
Flair. They call it flair.
Put up with it because he's the greatest thing going.
Of course.
But I know Steve Kerr probably looks at it. It's almost like a parent. You're like, right? When you're like screaming at your kid, like, be on time, be on time. And then like the other kid comes in and they're like constantly on time. You're like, see, this is doable.
Yeah.
Like you can do this. And
other people actually show up on time.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Butler's got to make Kerr feel that way, I would think.
No doubt.
So, Warriors in Orlando, 4 o'clock start time, which means you guys got Warriors live in 50 minutes at 3.
Look at my guys. Yeah. I'll be listening.
Come on, 4.5-point favorites, the Warriors are.
Almost out of time already.
Last year, we saw Curry tear up, right? Or there was some moisture.
In Orlando.
Last time they were in Orlando.
Right. That was Orlando.
And
we were thinking about this, like, and I think to kind of
what difference a year makes.
What you're building towards here, Grandy, is this is, to me, the Warriors got the fans' actual trust for the first time this year, last Friday in Sacramento.
Oh.
Butler showed up. You're excited for a minute. Then they lose in Dallas. You're like, wait a minute. Then they win in Houston, almost blow it, and you get
that's
the All-Star
a good call,
break.
Man.
And you're like, okay, I
show us this different.
I think this could be exciting. And then look what's happened. You come back from the All-Star break. You haven't just won three times. You've blown the other team off of the floor.
Yeah.
And the Friday road game was the one where people, I think, for the
proved
first
it.
Time, and you can see it now. They're about to hit the road, and people think if they go anything less than 4-1, it disappoints them.
So Randy, tonight, five in a row, what do we think?
That's expectation.
Yeah.
I do.
Lock it up.
Last time they won seven in a row, they won the title back in 2022.
Yeah, that's a nugget. So, yeah. Give me some ranch.
Orlando is a bunch of
abundant life.
Orlando is a bunch of empty calories.
Nice.
Not a very good
doctor. We're also going to celebrate a 9-year anniversary today on the show.
Yes, we are.
And we'll get to that as well.
Yes, we are.
That ain't Willard.
9-year anniversary, so that's 2016.
Yep, exactly. This day, 9 years ago, something happened. Something happened.
It did. Now, it was my daughter's.
Oh, yeah, I think that could be a clue.
It was my daughter's 7th birthday.
Look at him.
And happy birthday to Ella. Sweet 16.
Sweet 16 today.
Unlike you guys, I do comment on your IG post. But anyway, I had to say it. Dude, I see Dibley comment on other coworkers and friends of mine, and then I'll put up a picture, and it's so sad that I'm Kevin Durant, but I'm admitting it. And I'm like, Dibs will never hit the Johnson page with a like. It hurts.
It's kind of like a buddy.
You're in there, too.
It's like a buddy Hill three-point shot.
But I still go to your page and support. I like it, but I do what?
Do I ever comment on Mark?
You're a volume shooter. You are. You're a volume shooter on Instagram, brother.
Mark
and I appreciate that.
They'll post to each other. I'll abstain. Steiny will post. I'll abstain.
We know that.
The only one I've recently posted on, I think, was Spadoni.
Okay, gotcha.
But the rest of you, like, you pepper me.
I follow you. I'm hurt, man. Like, what is it? I'm like, should I call him?
I threw you a like for Daryl's 21st.
Yeah, I was.
Maybe
you might have, but yeah.
And I saved my comments for Mark and his IG for the air.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I feel better now, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're not celebrating the 9-year anniversary of my daughter's 7th birthday.
No, we're not. Yeah. No, we're not.
Something else.
Exactly. Yeah.
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 And where is that at?
It's going to happen.
All right, gents.
It's going
to happen on 95.7. The Game.
Look at Grandy.